We gotta let that earth, wind, and fire just bubble for a minute. We gotta just let that ride for a minute to take you back. Little quiet storm. I gotta wait till the stank comes in. I'm fucking the words up.
Something happened along the way, and yesterday is all we have.
Oh, come on, goddammit. Oh, that shit is so smooth. So many people have been fucking up Earth, Wind, and Fire. I had to get the rip.
Oh, after the love is gone, when you still be right is wrong.
Oh, that's so fly. Hey, man, what's up, man? I'm here. Welcome to Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I'm on my other YouTube channel right now. I bounce between my YouTube channels, but I'm here at TariqRadio.com. Don't forget, you can always subscribe to this show on iTunes and get it downloaded automatically to your mobile device. What we're going to do, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. I don't want y'all to move a muscle. We will be right back right here on Tariq Radio, so don't you move a muscle. We'll be back.
Learn the truth about the game by joining dating and life coach Mr. Locario and Miles Cunningham live in New York City on Saturday, April 14th at the NYC Seminar and Conference Center for the Truth About the Game seminar. In this seminar, Mr. Locario will teach you exactly what you need to know to be successful with women. Space is extremely limited, so purchase your tickets today at MrLocario.com. That's MRLOCARIO.com. MrLocario.com.
You rap, sing, have a band? Then you need CD duplication. Visit www.atlantadisc.com. AtlantaDisc.com is the premier company for CD duplication. We offer 100 CDs duplicated for $39. That's Atlanta, D-I-S-C, AtlantaDisc.com. Or call us at 678-780-1722. The process is easy and affordable. AtlantaDisc.com, 678-780-1722.
Hey, what's up, family? Have you ever considered making money from your phone? Well, nowadays, it's as simple as pressing a button. You need to check out my dude, Elijah, over at phoneappmoney.com. He has extensive experience with rideshare and delivery apps like Uber, Uber Eats, Lyft, Postmates, just to name a few. And he has several YouTube videos that will teach you how to use these apps as a source of part-time or full-time income. So, yo, you want to get that money up right now? Go to phoneappmoney.com right now to start making money on your phone.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris Man, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing? Glad to have y'all tuning in tonight. We're doing a kind of late night version of the show. Y'all need to subscribe to my other YouTube channel. This is my Tariq Time channel. There were some issues going on with my other channel. So when I have several YouTube channels, I need y'all to subscribe to all of them. So I'm on my Tariq Time YouTube channel right now, and I need everybody to subscribe to that. All the people watching, all the people listening, subscribe to that right now. Tariq Time on YouTube. That's my channel. Shout out to everybody in the chat room. Shout out to Sister Tupman. I gotta mod her up real quickly while I'm talking. Don't forget, everybody, get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Ladies and gentlemen, HiddenColorsFilm.com. Also, get the movie 1804movie.com if you do not have it. The greatest documentary on the Haitian Revolution ever. And all that good stuff. So some good things we want to talk about. Look, I'm going to be on the road. Me and the girls from ISM, we're going to be on the road next week. We're going to be in New Orleans. We're going to be in Atlanta. We're going to be in Chicago. So all my black business owners in those cities, I need y'all to hit me up. Let me know you're there. We're going to have the camera crew with us. We're going to do some pop-ups here and there. I know in New Orleans, on Sunday the 29th, we're going to be at a black coffee shop. We're going to do a meet and greet, probably a live version of the ISM radio show at this black-owned coffee shop called Back Away. I think that's the name of it. Good brothers and sisters there. So that's going to be Sunday, April 29th. And we're getting all the locations together in Atlanta and Chicago. And also all my radio folks in New Orleans. All my radio jocks, hit me up, man. We'll come to your show and chop it up with you. All my guys in Atlanta, my radio folks, shout out to B-High. I got to holler at B-High when I'm out there. My Atlanta folks, hit me up so we can hit your radio shows. My Chicago folks, hit me up so we can hit your radio shows up. You guys can email me, business purposes only. Please email me for business purposes only at info@TariqElite.com. info@TariqElite.com. Business stuff. Don't email me like, hey, man, I got a mixtape. You know, no, no, no. Business, business, business. So all my black business owners, let me know where you are so we can feature you, so we can come out there and chop it up with you and let folks know where you are. I mean business people. If you're out there trapping, that don't count. And you sell barbecue sandwiches out your grandma's house, that don't count either. You got to have a business that we can showcase so people can come to you and see what's popping in your city. You dig? But I keep everybody posted on what's happening and where we're going to be in each city. Also, I'm going to be in the UK. I got a lecture. Again, I'm going to be in the UK in Birmingham, England, on June 17th. Shout out to St. Corey, the promoters out there. I'm going to be there with my lovely, lovely sister, Dr. Joy DeGruy. We're going to be talking about race and relationships, and it's just going to be a powerful, powerful thing. And that's going to be on June 17th. If you follow me on Twitter, we got the flyer on my Twitter page. I got it pinned to my Twitter. So y'all need to follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. So you can see that flyer if you're in the UK. And I mean, if you're in London, wherever you are, London, Manchester, hell, if you're in Scotland and Ireland, bring your asses on down. Eat you some fish and chips and some porridge and bring your ass down on that train and come holla at us. Yes, Joy DeGruy is a delight. I love that sister to life. She's wonderful. She's phenomenal. So let's get into some game, man. We got to talk about a lot of stuff that's happening out here. And some of y'all may or may not know. Y'all know Stevante Clark. That's the brother of the young man who was executed by race soldiers. The young man who unfortunately had a coonish life. He lived as a coon. That doesn't justify him getting killed, but we're going to have to speak truth to power when he was here. The brother was cooning it up. So there's a coon spirit in the family, unfortunately. And I don't like to talk ill of the dead. I really don't. But we got to bring truth to power. We got to bring some truth to power. So Stephon Clark, he's a brother. He got shot, and Stephon Clark was, you know, we saw emails and not emails, but we saw tweets and social media dialogue of him just shitting on black folks, shitting on black women. Dark women bring dark days, and all lives matter. I mean, he really had the tap shoes a going. He really had the tap shoes going. So after he was executed, his brother, Stavante, he was out there in the media jumping around, buck dancing around, clowning around, doing shit for attention. And a lot of people were trying to chop it up to mental illness and all this old stuff. But nah, it's just good old-fashioned cooning. All of us are mentally ill, if that's the case. Hell, I'm mentally ill living in a system of white supremacy. We're not well. I'm not well living in this system. None of us are well. That's the victims. You're not well. But Stavante Clark, you know, he was trying to make a name for himself. He was going around jumping up and down for attention, yelling and screaming. And then they cut some kind of deal with him. Some money was about to come through. So he cut down on the, he ain't that mentally challenged. He knows when to start buck dancing. I don't want to hear all that shit about he's mentally challenged, because when they start dangling that money in his face, his ass stopped jumping on tables. When they start dangling that money in his face, letting him know that there's going to be a payout, just kind of chill out on inciting any type of civil disturbances. All of a sudden, he knew how to talk right. Like, hey, let's not block the streets no more, and let's not protest at the games no more. So he had enough sense to do that. So miss me with all that shit. He don't know what he's doing, and he's mentally ill. No, when a coon sees some money coming, they know how to straighten up. So he was straightening up for that money. And, you know, he's dancing around and he's throwing his mixtapes and shit out there. I mean, just really shucking and jiving. And I saw something where one of his relatives was talking about how he's hurt. And it was a female relative talking about, hey, we need to lighten up on him because he's hurt and he's distressed. And, oh, look, all that buck dancing and cheesing, and that ain't got nothing to do with being distressed or mourning. Nothing. That's just old buck dancing, attention whoring, and cooning. He's running around, you know, press conferences or whatever, yelling at crowds, do y'all love me? Do you love me? I mean, he's on some rock star shit. Do you love me? It ain't about his brother, it's about him. He's like, this is an opportunity for me to get me a nice batch of biscuits. And I'm about to get paid, too. I'm about to get some of this check. Oh, man, I got it made. And the thing is, black folks, we got to understand this. The white supremacists are all about getting revenge. They love getting revenge. Yeah, he was out here clout chasing. He's clout chasing. So Stavante just got arrested today. They arrested this brother. We got his mugshot up. They arrested him. And they gave him some I'm white and I say so charges, talking about he made what? Felony terroristic threats or some shit like that. And he was abusing the 911 system. So these are basically just I'm white and I say so charges. He probably said something crazy and then they said, oh, this is an opportunity to throw the book at him. And that's what they did. Do you know this nigga's bail? One charge, there is no bail. And another charge, the bail is like $1 million. So these are revenge charges. And that's what they do. They can do that. We're in a system called white supremacy. Y'all want to sit around and play and buck dance and act a fool and skin and grin? That's why they gave him enough rope to hang himself. That's why they gave him all that camera time to go out there and buck dance and act a fool, because they knew the more he buck danced and act a fool, black folks would kind of distance themselves away from him. Because, you know, we don't want to be associated with that type of buffoonery. So they played the fuck out of him. they played the shit out of him. They let him act a fool, let him show out, make a fool of himself, let him buck dance and tap dance, and told him that big old check is coming. Just stop everybody from rioting and stop people from getting out in the streets. And we got you. We got a little deal going on with you. And he's talking about how good the mayor. Oh, the mayor is good people. The mayor is so good. He is good to white folk. That mayor was running that game on him and then went behind closed doors and said, look, if we get some on this nigga, throw the book at him. So they got him. They were monitoring him and they finally got some they can throw at him. Shout out to Constructive Criticism. Lemuel from the Bronx. He asked me, he's in the super chat, and shout out to the people putting some on the super chat on the Melanoid Ministries. He said, would I consider doing a documentary based on police genocide? We'll probably talk about that in Hidden Colors 5. But this dude, Stavante, he thought that he had a little deal going. He thought he was buddy-buddy with the mayor. You know, all these, when niggas start cooning, they got this thing where they figured it out. I'm just going to make a deal with these folks, and we all good, and they going to look out for me, and I'm in there now. No. The buck dancing backfired. They threw that shit on him, and now they're going to use that against giving that family a payout. They're going to use the charges on him now. They're going to use that against paying the family out. Because what they do, they give families a couple of million dollars, so now they even threw a $1 million bond on him. And now they're about to work out a deal like, okay, nigga, you got $1 million bond. We'll let you out. Just get the fuck out of our face about paying your family out. That they played chess with this fool. You see what they did? They played chess with him. They put a bogus $1 million bond up there with these old I'm white and I say so charges. So now they about to negotiate this nigga, let him negotiate himself out of jail, and then that's going to cut into the little settlement money. And y'all play with these white supremacists if you want to. You better understand, you are in warfare. Warfare is all about deception as well. Warfare is about deception. You played yourself, bro. The buck dancing backfired. Boy, these white supremacists know how to get revenge, man. They knew if you start cutting a rug and buck dancing, black folks were going to distance themselves from you. So now that this dude has been arrested, you notice there is no big outcry from black folks. You notice there is no big outcry from black. Well, ain't nobody tripping on that. They were like, oh, good Lord. Black folks are, it's almost like we ain't even shocked that they arrested this nigga. He was showing out so much. No, you got to be on code, man. You got to act right, and you got to have a disposition where you're not trying to be buddy-buddy with them. Now, I know it's okay to get your little payout or whatever, but don't be cooning. You still let people know the problem is systematic white supremacy. These folks, see, black folks think, okay, I'll throw my family and the rest of the black community under the bus as long as I get me a little check. And the white supremacists are getting wise to that. They're getting wise to that. They'll let you act a fool, and they're coming up with ways to snatch their money back from y'all. And that was it right there. They were looking for a reason to lock this nigga up so they can snatch that money back from them. Or the potential money back from them. The white supremacists are all about getting revenge, man. They do not like taking L's. Did y'all find out what happened? Y'all hear about what happened down there in Tennessee? In Tennessee, I think, is it Memphis? Memphis is majority black. Where are my Tennessee people? I got a lot of love from Memphis, too. I got a lot of love from brothers and sisters in Memphis. But from what I understand, Memphis is majority black. Is that correct? Let me, on a side note, somebody asked me, well, how do I think what they did to Rollo down in Atlanta? There was a rapper named Rollo, and I need y'all to fill me in on the details. I know my brother had an apartment complex, and I know the feds went down there and got at him. So what happened with that? Did they arrest anybody? Where are my Atlanta folks? Did they arrest anybody at Rollo's apartment complex? Because, see, I own property down there in Atlanta. That's why I'm real funny style about who's in the building. I'm real funny style about the tenants, because if you in there doing some dumb shit, my name is on all that damn paperwork down there, so I can't have nobody down there trapping and doing nothing stupid. But yeah, cats can't be all out here. If you own property, man, if you own business, you know, you got to have a certain level of professionalism. But back to Memphis, like I was talking about in Memphis. Now, Memphis is majority black. Now, you had some smart brothers and sisters out there who said instead of marching around trying to get rid of these Confederate statues, these brothers got lawyers together, which is what we need to be doing more of. We need to have a whole constituency of lawyers. We need to have a bunch of people who are lawyers. We need to have brothers and sisters who work within the police force, working with us, letting us know what's going on. Or working with you, letting you know what's going on. But you have some very smart brothers down there in Memphis who, instead of marching around in circles about the damn Confederate statues, begging them to take them down, they finessed that shit where they bought one of some of the parks where the statues were. They finessed and bought the shit and then removed the shit themselves, and they couldn't do anything about it. The white supremacists there in the city couldn't do shit because the brothers, they owned the property. Oh, and they were salty as shit. And this happened, last year this happened? Now, this week, the state, some of the people on the state level, and this is why the white supremacists are very, very particular about controlling things on a state level. Because you notice in a lot of cities, they'll let certain cities have black mayors and black city council people or whatever, but the governors and all those people are usually always white. The people who allocate the resources, those are the white people. Because they can relinquish and deny certain resources. And that's what they tried to do as a punishment to the people of Memphis. They held $250,000 in the annual budget away from Memphis as a form of revenge because those brothers and sisters got those statues removed. This is why we got to have a grassroots effort to help these cities out. That's why I want to chop it up with some of the politicians down there and see if we can get some, if we need to, get some kind of fundraiser going on so we can get the money that was denied by the state to them. See, we got to be there to pick up the pieces. That's why we got to get rid of the people who are out here finessing when it comes to raising money and doing the right thing with it. Because we got this thing where black folks, too many of us want to say we're going to do the right thing, and we get some money, and we start finessing, we get the money and put it in our pocket and don't do what the fuck you're going to say you're going to do. We got to stop that. You got to say what you do and mean what you say. And I want to talk to the brothers and sisters down there who work in politics and see if there's a way we, on a national level, can get resources out there to look out for them. See, that's what the white supremacists do. When they get undercut by another group, they all rally around each other. They put their little coins in there because they understand how important cohesive white supremacy is. So we got to have the same mentality for black empowerment. We got to know how to look out for each other on a nationwide level when we're being attacked. We got to know how to aggregate our resources. Because, see, they fight their wars with money. See, we think marching around in a damn circle is doing something. No, you got to put some change on it. And that's what the brothers and sisters did in Memphis. And that's why the people, the white supremacists, are so mad. They got their money together and start buying shit. Now that's a problem. You understand? And just like these race soldiers, every time they kill somebody, there's a GoFundMe page that raises $100,000 in 2 days. That happens all the time. You dig? But people like Stevante Clark and others, you got to understand, these white supremacists are real vengeful. They don't like taking L's. They're all about revenge. They get revenge. And they got revenge on him for making noise initially, and then You know, they knew he was trying to get money out the city, and they said, okay, we got his ass. We got him. He's a clown, so we're gonna play his ass. But they don't like taking L's. The white supremacists, they love revenge. All that forgive shit, that's the stuff they tell us. They tell us about forgiveness. They don't forgive nothing. That's why I always say the OJ case was a revenge case, family. The OJ Simpson case was a case of revenge. Those white supremacists out here in LA, they took an L with the LA riots. See, when the police beat Rodney King and got off, brothers took to the street and started beating the shit out of white people and ended up killing many of them. And understand, they look at themselves as being in perpetual war with us. They are in a perpetual war with us. So whenever they get losses on their side, they look at that as a military loss. You understand? They look at that shit as a military loss. So when brothers was rising up and riding out, pulling motherfuckers up out of trucks and beating them on international television, that was white supremacy taking an L. They took a major L, and they had to do a show of force. I remember there was one guy, they beat up this dude, Reginald Denny, and one dude hit him in the head with a rock. And it was graphic, but hey, the white supremacists, they were to blame for that because they created the atmosphere. They are the blame for that. The white supremacists who ran the city and ran law enforcement, they had Reginald Denny's blood on their hands because they created that atmosphere. And the dude who did it was a dude, Damian, they called him Football Williams. They always give niggas nicknames, but that was the nickname that the white media gave because he did like a congratulatory stance when he hit Reginald Denny with the rock. And they found out who he was and they went to Damian's home and they took like 100 cops and the chief of police was down there. It was like a military thing. It was like them going to get bin Laden. They literally took about 100 cops to this dude's house with the chief of police leading the way. It was some real cowboy showing out bullshit, but they had to really make a big scene about it. Because again, they look at us as military subjects. Shout out to all y'all in the chat room who's giving $2. Y'all giving your best and I ain't mad at you. God is going to bless you still with your $2. Shout out to DJ Hitman X. I see a lot of folks giving their $2. I know it's the middle of the week. That's your weed money. You don't get your check until tomorrow and you're giving what you can, and I got none but respect for that. I love that. Me and Ogun, we're going to use that $2 and build. We're going to do some good things with y'all $2, I promise you. But what I was saying, though, in the LA riots, the white supremacists, they took a loss. A lot of their businesses were destroyed. That's why they always love to say, you guys are destroying your businesses. See, they try to put it off on us as if they're not taking an L. That's them trying to convince themselves. But it was white businesses that were getting fucked up because we weren't really owning nothing down there anyway, and white and Korean businesses. So OJ, they were going to use OJ as a proxy for all black folks. So they were going to get revenge. That's why they were setting OJ up and planting all that evidence. Shout out to Tanya Stewart. She put 25 on it. My love. Much respect. But the OJ thing was revenge. Also, you know, there's a brother out here speaking in California. There was another brother a couple of weeks ago. I can't think of his name, but he got shot. Outside of a Walmart out here in Southern California, he was waiting in a car. The cops pulled up and just start busting on the damn dude. And people are like, damn, and they ended up killing him. They just start shooting in the car. And from what I'm hearing, the guy had an altercation with police, I think a year ago, when he ran from the cops or whatever, and he got away. And I think he was a fugitive or whatever, but I think they got it all squared away. But it looked like that was revenge. It looks like they knew who he was and they got revenge on the dude and just did a drive-by on him. Was it in Barstow or was somewhere? But yeah, y'all look it up. Look that dude up from what I'm hearing on the streets. And I got to verify, but, you know, I keep an ear to the streets. And from what I understand, the dude had an altercation with police and he ran from them and got away. And he was a fugitive for a little bit. So it looked like they might have been salty about that and they just bust on the dude. So again, these white supremacists are really about revenge. So we got to understand what we're dealing with. Now, I know a lot of people are talking about the whole thing with Starbucks and the brothers who were in that situation at Starbucks. They had the white supremacist Starbucks host or manager who called the police on these brothers. And there's been a few cases like that. I saw a video today, and that was a few months ago, where this brother was in South Carolina. They called the police on him. Shout out to Jason Pertle in the chat room. He put 50 on it. Much respect. This brother got kicked out of a Starbucks. There was a brother out here in SoCal. He tried to use the restroom. They said he couldn't use it. Then a white man came out and he asked the white dude, he said, "Hey, did you buy anything?" The white guy was like, "No." He said, "Well, they just told me I had to buy something before I used the restroom." So, I mean, the brother had it on film, and then they kicked him out and called the police. So Starbucks has always been on this old racial shit. It's something from the top up that's coming down. And I saw the video of these brothers in LA Fitness. Some white supremacists were calling the police on them. So these white supremacists, they've been deputized now. And that's a power thing for these white supremacists to get on the phone and call somebody's death in. They're trying to get y'all killed and us killed. They're trying to get you and me and all of us killed when they do that. They know exactly what they're doing. And Starbucks is talking about, well, we're going to have diversity training and racial sensitivity training. That's a nothing burger. That's a con game. That racial sensitivity bullshit, that's really them pretending to be innocent. And what's interesting, black folks be falling for that bullshit. I had some people, black folks, arguing with me on Twitter because I was talking about that whole racial diversity class. That's a crock of bullshit. And I had some bug dancing, butter biscuit eating Negroes talking about, well, it's a start. And, you know, it starts with education. Educate who? But who are you educating? Black folks, I really want y'all to put the biscuits down and stop thinking that you're educating white supremacists about how bad racism is. I really want y'all to stop thinking that. Black folks got this thing, well, I'm going to teach them how bad racism is. I'm going to teach them how morally bankrupt it is to hate somebody because of their color. If y'all don't sit y'all naive asses down, nobody knows about racism more than a damn white supremacist. You ain't teaching them nothing. They created racism. They created race. The concept of race was created by them. They created racial stereotypes. They created racial profiling. They created racial laws. They created racial discrimination. How are you going to teach the masters of white supremacy about white supremacy? They play naive as a way of deception. They're not naive to what the fuck they doing. Black people, really? They're not naive. These white supremacists out here know everything. They got all types of knowledge about everything under the sun. They can tell you how many molecules are in a damn grape, how many cells and nuclei goes into a coffee bean. But the minute race comes up, I didn't know that was racist. It's not really racist. It's just I'm conservative. They play dumb. They play dumb and y'all fall for it and they wink at each other. They're not dumb. White supremacists are not dumb by a long shot. They know exactly what they're doing. Racism ain't about knowledge. Racism, it's about domination. It's about them dominating you. They know that they're mistreating you. You think they don't know what they're doing is fucked up to you? They know it's messed up. That's the humor in it. That's the greatness of it. Because the black folks got this thing. We look at racism from our eyes and we think they see racism, or we're going to let them see racism from their eyes. See, understand, look. black folks got this thing where it's like, oh, woe's me with the racism. Oh, my God, this is so horrible. I wish everybody just saw our pain. Because remember, when I was down there in Miami, those radio jocks were down there talking about, well, they see what we going through now. The kids have been shot up at the school in Florida, so now they know what we go through. Black folks got this thing where we just got to show people our suffering, and they're going to get it, and one day they're going to wake up. No. That's never going to happen. That's never, 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 never going to happen. The only people who are dumb are you if you believe that. That's never going to happen. They know that you're being harmed. They know that you're being disenfranchised. They know. They set it up like that. They know. They set it up. Shit. They created the laws to keep you fucked up and funneled into the ghetto. They know that. They love you suffering. That's what one thing black folks just don't get. When you do better, that's when they go on alert. That's when they have a problem. When you do better without them, now they get violent. That's what you don't understand, black folks. That's why we keep going into this circle. We don't understand our progress is a red light for them. It triggers a negative reaction from them, especially when we do it on our own terms. They don't mind an athlete or a rapper that they're giving money to that they elevated, because they know they can take that shit right back. But when we do it on our own, now they go on alert. I'm an example of that. Look, when I had book deals with major publishers, which they still sell my books, they had no problem with me. They had no problem with me whatsoever. They loved me, as a matter of fact. The media loved me. I'm on everything. But when I decided to, hey, let me do something independent without them, because when I started doing the Hidden Color series, I went out of my way to not use any white money and none of that shit. Because I wanted to make a point that we can do things on our own. Because, and also I knew if I got money from the dominant society, they'd try to dictate and control what would be said in the movies. And I wasn't going to even go that route. But now that I made something very successful without them, and a few things successful without them, I'm the race baiter. I'm the chief race baiter. Oh, I'm the world's biggest damn race baiter. Literally, that's why I got a book coming out called Race Baiter. That's what my book is going to be called. Because if you Google my name, or no, you Google the word race baiter, and a white supremacist told me this before, because they were trolling me. And they were like, you know, Tariq, you fucking, your name literally comes up when you Google race baiter. You fucking race bait nigger, you know, all that shit. Hey, shout out to Linwood Johnson. Brother Linwood, y'all give it up to Linwood. He gave some on the Melanoid Ministries. Much respect to you, brother. But when you Google the word race baiter, I'm the first picture that comes up when you look at the images. That's how much I'm called a race baiter. I'm the first person who comes up. Then it's like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and all that. But that's what I'm naming my book. My new book that's coming out. But they go on alert when we start doing things independently. They do not like that. They don't like that at all. And we have to understand that trying to get them to see how bad we're being treated, that's not going to work. Because see, systematic white supremacy over here, our system over here, and globally, really. And black folks don't look at it from this perspective. We talk about how bad it is over here. It's bad in America right now because of all the racism. It's horrible, and black folks got it bad. Black folks got it bad. But you don't look at the flip side of that. Because if you are a person who believes in white supremacy, America is a paradise. Understand, America is a paradise. This is like Fantasy Island if you believe in white supremacy. If you're a person who's classified as white and you decide to believe in mistreating people based on race, America is a paradise for you. Back in the day, there was a TV show called Fantasy Island. It was Mr. Rourke in tattoos. This tall Latin man, Latino, whatever the fuck he's supposed to be. And you have this little midget named Tattoo. The plane. He used to yell, the plane. And this show came on, and it was about people going to this island, and they can do anything they wanted to and fulfill their fantasy on this island. They could do anything on this island. Well, that island represented white supremacy. Our hell is white supremacist heaven. But this is Fantasy Island for them. If you're a white supremacist, understand, when you wake up, even though you might not have no money or whatever, you might be broke, you might be living in a trailer, but hey, I can go anywhere and I'm protected. If anybody bothers me, especially a Negro, I can just get on the phone and have him killed. If I'm having a bad day and a Negro is disturbing me, I can just get him killed. I can go smoke meth and nobody's going to mass incarcerate me and other people like me. If I'm a white supremacist, I can go do a little raping and molesting and I'll get a slap on the wrist. I can go shoot up a school and they'll give me a mental evaluation to see if I'm fit to stand trial. I mean, I can do anything as a white supremacist. I can go fuck a dog and a horse and get a slap on the wrist. This is paradise for me as a white supremacist. Why should I change that? Why do I want that to change? See, we got to look at it from that perspective. We're asking people to change some shit that works for them. We're asking white supremacists to change some shit that works for them and that's going to work for their children. Because when you say, hey, white supremacists, I want you to stop systematic white supremacy, what you're telling a white supremacist, hey, deny my children privileges based on race. That's what you're telling a white supremacist. They want their kids to get the same protections and benefits. See, a lot of folks don't look at it like that. See, the white supremacists, they act like some of them might be sympathetic towards you, like, oh God, that's so horrible, what's happening? But they ain't doing shit about it. Even the so-called sympathizers, that's a whole con game. They know how to change something if they want to change it. They give you bullshit ass sympathy. Just like when they started talking about these racial sensitivity classes, all the fake white liberals were on there on Twitter and Facebook like, oh man, this is a great step. I mean, oh, this is so great that Starbucks is taking action. So now we can just calm down now. Everything is fixed. Starbucks is going to take action. So now we can stop complaining. They're being phony because they don't want no real change either. They like little symbolic bullshit. They like pacification. They want to pacify you. But now, what's up to us to cut the bullshit out? That's why we got to get on code. That's our mission from the gods of melanin. That is our mission, for us to figure out how to get on code to stop the greatest evil in the history of recorded mankind, which is global white supremacy. Nothing has been more evil. That's Satan incarnate. Any person who believes in being a white supremacist is Satan incarnate on the planet. And black folks think that we can just buck dance our way into the good graces of those in the dominant society. And speaking of buck dancing, did y'all see all these black folks buck dancing for Barbara Bush? Barbara Bush died, the former first lady, George W. Bush's mother, George H. Bush's wife, who looks like his grandmother. So she died at 92. And there was a white lady. She was a professor at one of these colleges. It was a white lady talking about how racist Barbara Bush was. And what's interesting, a lot of the right-wing white supremacists were attacking her because she got off code. You're not supposed to call another white person out for their racism. So a lot of the white supremacists were really getting on this white lady who's a professor. And I can't think of what school it is. I cannot think of the school, but they were getting on that lady. But Barbara Bush, old school white supremacist. I mean, she was 92 years old, so it was almost a century. That woman was born there a century ago, damn near. So, I mean, she got that racism all in her bones, all in her joints, all in her cavities, all in her dentures. And we know her. One thing a lot of folks don't know, she came out and supported Paul LePage, the governor of Maine, that white supremacist, anti-black, Nazi-ass governor of Maine. She supported him. So that just gives you an idea of how she gets down. That's where the professor is, up in Fresno, Fresno State. That white professor in Fresno State called Barbara Bush out for being a racist. Rhonda Girard, yeah. And boy, the white supremacists are mad at her because she got off code. And she calls out white supremacy a lot and they get on her ass. That's why I say, just because you white, it's not paradise. You got to be white and believe in white supremacy in order to enjoy paradise. Because if you don't get on the code of white supremacy, well, you'll be labeled a nigger lover, and that's just as bad. So it's more practical to just practice white supremacy. But Barbara Bush, you know, she supported Paul LePage, and, you know, she made those infamous statements during Hurricane Katrina when her son, understand, her son, George Jr., he allowed black people to drown on live TV for a whole week during Hurricane Katrina down there in New Orleans. We'll be in New Orleans next week, by the way. And all my New Orleans people holler at me because I want to go around New Orleans and really, really see what's popping. So I want my New Orleans people to holler at me for real. Because I haven't been down there to do anything, but I don't know why. And I got a big audience down in New Orleans and a lot of love from people down there. But George Bush, he let black folks sit up and die on live television for a week. It got so bad, Fidel Castro was offering help. They were like, no. That was embarrassing, the U.S., when people like Castro, so-called enemies, was offering to help the drowning black people down there. And what's interesting about that, on a side note, you notice they sat up here and act like they couldn't get no National Guard. They couldn't get nothing down there to those drowning black folks for a week. But the minute they come in with a bullshit verdict and let some race soldier off, boy, they'll get the National Guard up in a city within hours. They got every type of military weapon and vehicle in major cities within hours when it comes to quelling any kind of racial uprising. But George Bush allowed that to happen. Now, when help did finally arrive, a week later, they had to move people to, was it Houston? To the Houston Astrodome? Is that where they moved them? And Barbara Bush made the statement that, well, these people are underprivileged anyway, so this is working out well for them. And I'm going to play the clip of her actually saying that, because what's interesting, I had to dig for the clip, because that clip of her actually saying that, they scrubbed the internet of that clip. That's why you can't find it nowhere. All the sites that had it is scrubbed from those sites. They really tried to bury that, because they have this whole thing where they label her America's grandmother. And that's the whole thing. They wanted to portray her as like Betsy Ross, or this maternal American figure. So they don't want to have that out. So they scrubbed the internet of the clip that I'm going to play you now. I'm going to play you the clip now. But you can't find that clip nowhere. But I had to go deep, deep, deep digging for the clip. Because I researched. I'm going to find the fucking receipt. If I know it's out there, I'm finding the fucking receipt. But let me play the clip of her. The audio is a little janky. And it's a real quick clip. This is her talking about the people in Hurricane Katrina.
What I'm hearing, which is sort of scary, is they all...
Oh, wait, I want... Catch that first part. She said, what I'm hearing is sort of scary. Now, the audio is real janky, but listen. Come on, goddammit. Hold on. Wait a minute. All right. Now I just want to act funny. Hold on. Okay, let's try it again.
They all want to stay in Texas. What I'm hearing, which is sort of scary, is they all want to stay in Texas. Everybody is so overwhelmed by the hospitality.
Okay, now I want y'all to catch what she just said. Now, the first line, she said, what? Now, she's talking about the black people who were brought over from New Orleans to Houston, to the Astrodome. Now, if you didn't make out what she said, what I'm hearing, and this is kind of scary, is that they want to stay. I want y'all to catch that.
What I'm hearing, which is sort of scary, is they all want to stay in Texas. Everybody is...
You can't, a lot of folks miss that part of it. So what I'm hearing is kind of scary that all these niggas want to stay here in Texas because that's where they're from. That's where George W. and all those people live, I think. But she said, hey, you know what's kind of scary is these niggas want to stay. Oh, is it scary, Barbara? Okay. This is the president's mom. Yeah, a lot of folks miss that part of it. Oh, Lord, we got some white supremacists. Oh, when we bring out the receipt. And also, when I played this on Twitter, boy, the white supremacists came out. Boy, now the white supremacists in the chat room have revealed themselves. When you put them on blast or you bring some receipts, boy, they come, here they are. We was kangs. Here they go trolling. The minute you bring some damn receipts, the trolling comes through. Here they go in the chat room already. The butt hurt. Well, y'all sit y'all unseasoned macaroni cheese eating ass down. All right, hold on.
What I'm hearing, which is sort of scary, is they all want to stay in Texas. Everybody is so overwhelmed by the hospitality. And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, we're underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
So she's like, well, many of the people here, I mean, you know, they're underprivileged anyway, so this hurricane thing is working out for them. Now, that's that Paula Deen type of racism. You got a bunch of people who your son allowed to be displaced. Your son is the president. He allowed people to just sit up and die. I mean, motherfuckers are dead. People, dead bodies. These people have lost their relatives. And her response... The president's mother, well, shit, this worked out well. I mean, I know your mama drowned, your baby's drowned, your grandma got ate by an alligator. I know that, but hell, you didn't have shit anyway. You were underprivileged. I mean, damn, this works out for you, right? So they had to take the mic from her. They had to stop giving her interviews because she's one of them old white supremacists. Ain't no filter. It ain't no filter with them old ones. That's them old white supremacists who's been a white supremacist so damn long, they don't even think it's fucked up no more. She's one of, that's that Paula Deen. Like when they asked Paula Deen, Paula, did you use the word nigga? Yeah, of course I use nigga. Ain't I supposed to? It's that type of thing. You don't even know the shit ain't right. It's so normal. That's just how you are. That's just how you've been viewing black people for a damn century of your old decrepit ass life. I mean, that's some old vile, disgusting ass racism. Where people, relatives died and they're displaced. They don't have no homes. And you're like, well, shit, they didn't have nothing. They didn't have nothing anyway. I mean, damn, this works out for them. They don't want to leave. I mean, it's scary. They don't want to leave. I mean, the casual ass fucking racism. It's just so casual and matter of fact. See, the thing is, I don't like when people say, well, we got to stop the hate. We got to stop the hate. No, white supremacy ain't about hate. Because the thing is, we think just because somebody's not being hateful that they're not a white supremacist. I don't like that word, let's stop the hate. No, because a lot of white supremacists come at you smiling. She sound like a damn plantation mom. That's how they would talk to Negroes on a plantation because it's so normal. Like, I love my Negroes as long as they're beneath me. I like my Negroes like pets. And that's how she was talking. She was talking like she was in a goddamn animal shelter. That's how low she viewed black folks, and she don't even look at it as wrong. That's how you talk when you're in an animal shelter. Well, these dogs didn't have no home anyway, so them being here is great. It's kind of scary these dogs want to stay here because, you know, we got to put these dogs somewhere. I mean, you interchange black people and dogs, and it's the same fucking conversation. I mean, and she's not even saying it viciously. I mean, it's just ingrained in her ass. And then when folks start talking about she's America's grandma, she ain't my fucking grandma. She ain't my grandma at all. That ain't my grandma. My grandma ain't vicious like that. Nah. My grandma ain't disgusting like that. Yeah, well, truly, somebody in the chat room made a good point. Hell, the dogs got more love. They were down there rescuing more dogs than black folks down there in New Orleans during Katrina. Nigga, I saw black folks on the roof and dogs on a boat with a life jacket on. I'm like, what the fuck is this? You got black folks floating on sticks and on the roof writing SOS and a dog sitting in a van in an SOS in a damn life jacket chilling. But the thing is, I saw so many black people caping for Barbara Bush, giving condolences. Oh, she was so great. It was that one dude, the Pursuit of Happiness guy, the guy Will Smith played, he wrote some, oh man. And I kind of like that brother, but he wrote some low-key coon shit. He was like, yeah, I met Barbara Bush and she kind of reminded me of my mama. I said, nigga, if you don't put the fucking biscuits down, dude. Come on, man. And Tina Knowles, Beyonce's mom, was kind of, oh, Barbara Bush was great and doing all this. I'm like, look, Miss Knowles, Tina Knowles, your daughter and son-in-law got a damn $1 billion. What you doing caping for her? You don't have to cape for her. Your son and son-in-law and daughter got enough money, for you don't have to do that. And Tina knows y'all from down there. Y'all should know. Yeah, Tina had the soft shoe high heel tap going. And I like Tina, but no. Come on now. And speaking of Beyonce, a lot of folks are still talking about her performance. And I enjoyed Beyonce's performance on Coachella. That was good. The other day I was talking about Taylor Swift making that bullshit version of the Earth, Wind, and Fire song, and how the white supremacists were butthurt that black folks were clowning them, as we should. You should have been clowning them. You should have been clowning her for making that bullshit ass song. Because again, it's very important for us to keep our music intact. I can't emphasize that enough. And that's the reason why we're doing this Mink Slide project, because I already saw where the shit was going. It's very important that we keep our music protected. We gotta pay homage to our own stuff. And that Taylor Swift version of September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, it was just blasphemous. Like I said on my other broadcast the other day, those Earth, Wind, and Fire, that's one of those groups, you don't remake their shit. Black folks know better than to remake an Earth, Wind, and Fire song. Certain black folks you don't mess with. You don't mess with Earth, Wind, and Fire stuff. You don't mess with the OJ stuff. You do not mess with Teddy Pendergrass stuff. And you never mess with Luther stuff. You might be able to record an album cut or something that wasn't that known with one of these groups. But certain people, you just don't mess with their stuff. But it's always some people in the dominant white society who try to dabble in our stuff and try to buck the unwritten black rule, because they know that we have certain respect for certain artists that we wouldn't even touch their stuff. But they're like, well, I'm white and I say so I can do what I want. And they just have to find black folks to co-sign the fuckery. And speaking of co-signing fuckery, black folks, can black people please stop co-signing these little ratchet white girls and little Asian girls that I'm seeing on social media? The catch me outside, how about that? And this other goofy chick called Whoa Vicky. And there's another little Asian girl who's about 9 or 10 who's doing all this yo-yo-yo hip-hop stereotypical bullshit that I'm seeing on social media. What happens is black folks end up co-signing this fuckery. Little Tay, is that her name? Let me, black folks, I want y'all to understand this. I saw this little Asian girl. Yeah, nigga, yeah, motherfucker. Oh, look. Black dudes, black men, please get some fucking standards. Black men, we have lowered our standards to the sewer. we've been broken so much, we'll just hold on and uplift any piece of fucking garbage. We got to stop being the garbage people. Guess what? You know who I saw with a damn black man? Caitlyn fucking Jenner. My lady was like, hey, you know, Caitlyn Jenner's dating somebody. I said, is it a brother? She's like, yeah. I said, I knew it. I knew a brother would be with that shit. Caitlyn Jenner looks a mess. And it ain't about this motherfucker being a tranny, whatever he's supposed to be. He just looks a fucking mess. And I knew a brother be laying up with his ass. It's always us, black folks. God, man, raise your standards. But these goofy, ratchet, faking ass, yo, word to your mother, white girls and Asian girls and all that. Black folks, I want you to understand, that's them mocking you. That's them mocking us. Black folks don't really understand that. That's a way for them to mock us. That's like the new blackface now. Just to walk, yo, how about that? Yo, all this old bullshit. And, you know, the white society, they'll prop their people up because they know they're in on it. Because that, one of those chicks, the Catch Me Outside girl, I think she got nominated for some kind of rap award because she raps. And she got nominated along with Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. So you see that? You see these two sisters had to pay a lot of dues in order to work their way up the chain, and you got just some random ass ratchet hood trailer white girl who said something stupid on television, and now she's on their level. You understand? But we got to stop being the garbage folks, taking in other people's garbage. But what I was talking about, us really holding on to our music and not let people rape it. Because people in the dominant society, they've always wanted to, and they're doing it, to be honest. They're getting R&B and then redefining it. They always like to get our music genres and then etch us out and then take control of it and redefine it. That's why when you look at, like, rock, the modern rock, that hardcore rock with the guitars, all that shit came from people like Jimi Hendrix and all that stuff. But if a black person does that, well, you're trying to be white now. You understand? So they'll push us out of our own genres. Yeah, house music started in the fucking hoods and the clubs of Chicago and Detroit. I mean, that shit started in the gutter. Now when you hear that house music, dance music, you get these white boys, I call them laser light DJs. They put some shit on a laptop and then start showing laser lights all over the place, and these dudes get like $20,000-$30,000 fucking dollars. All the house music DJs are white and Asian now. All of them, damn near. They completely took over house music. House music is all the way taken over. The music gentrification is real. And I saw a clip of Britney Spears trying to sing some damn Aretha Franklin. Hold on. This was the other day on her Instagram. This is her trying to sing Aretha Franklin. Hold on.
You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Yeah, think. Let your mind go, let yourself be free. Let's go back. Well, the way back when. I didn't even know you. I couldn't have been too much more than 10. I ain't no psychiatrist, I ain't no doctor with me, you know. But it don't take too much hockey to see what you're doing to me. You better think.
Oh, God.
You better think.
Oh, okay. So you see that, all right? So they really, yeah, they're really trying to get that R&B thing now. They're fighting to get the R&B. I'm telling you. Now, Aretha Franklin will slap this motherfucker for fucking her shit up. But these white artists are really trying to dabble and grab our shit. They want to have music gentrification. They want to grab our stuff and redefine it. And they got to get us on board. That's the thing. They're trying to get us on board. That's why these white female artists will snuggle up with Negroes. And niggas will give them a pass, just like niggas gave Miley Cyrus a pass. Who she was snuggling up with Negroes, hanging out with 3 6 Mafia and Mike Will Made It, Oh, niggas, when they see that, y'all, you roll out the red carpet for Becky. That's what I'm telling you. That's one of the main reasons why we're doing this R&B project. I don't do things just to be doing it. I saw something that was happening, and I see that it's starting to accelerate. And I ain't see nobody doing like some old school R&B taking that shit back, because we just do stuff and just leave it, and then they take it and then redefine it and then etch you out of it. Because you know what? Let me tell you something. They don't let you infiltrate their music genres. Do you understand that? We're talking about Beyonce. Do you know Beyonce, on her Lemonade album, she did a song called Daddy Lessons. Now, Daddy Lessons is basically a country song. She even did like a remix, kind of a remix that was even more country, that had the Dixie Chicks on it. It's a straight up and down country song. She even got the Dixie Chicks on it. Beyonce submitted that song to the Grammys in the country category. It was a good song too. Straight up and down country. She submitted that song to the Grammys, to the country category. And you know, the Grammys, they have committees. They have the R&B committee, they have the pop committee, they have the female artist committee, they have the country committee. The country committee for the Grammys rejected Beyonce's song. They rejected the fuck out of that song. They couldn't say it wasn't country. They didn't even give a reason why they rejected it, but they wouldn't even let her submit the song to be in the category, because even if she was nominated, that would have made a big impact. But they said, hell no, you're not about to have your song, which is country, but you ain't one of us. We're not about to have you, the face of a country hit. Hell no. Because people would have known that shit would have won. But they did not let Beyonce, and they kind of kept that on the low, but I want y'all to Google that. They did not let Beyonce submit her song in the country category, because what they were saying is, hey, we can call ourselves pop, we can be R&B, but damn if we're going to let you call yourself country, because that's what we are and that's all we have. This is our category. And if we let one in, there's going to be a flood of y'all. We ain't about to let Beyonce do a Tiger Woods on us. We ain't about to let Beyonce do a Serena Williams on us. You get in one of our genres and then take it over. That's what Tiger did to golf. That's what Venus and Serena did to tennis. And Beyonce was going to do that with country, and they said no. They cut that shit short at the door. And I want y'all to look that up. And also, they threw her a bone by letting Beyonce perform at the Country Music Awards or something like that. And understand, the white supremacists were mad about that. Beyonce performed at the Country Music Awards, and the white supremacists were up in arms over that shit. They were like, what's this nigga bitch doing up in here? You understand? They only let one or two in. You know, Darius Rucker. Did they let Darius Rucker do it? It's like one nigga every 20 years they going to let do some country. Like Charlie Pride. Oh, they don't let you get back. And we created all of that, but yeah. They don't play that game. They don't let you in theirs. They're not about to let you get documented as a country artist and let you be the face of that. But who do we have as R&B? Post Malone? You understand? These people are considered R&B. That ain't no damn R&B. That's why we got to take back over our stuff and define it the way it's supposed to be defined. Anyway, that's been today's episode, family, of Tariq Radio. I hope everybody subscribed to my Tariq Time channel. I still got my Tariq Live channel. I might not be on it for a few weeks, but I'll be here on the Tariq Time channel. So everybody subscribe here. Everybody subscribe here and subscribe to all my different channels. Whenever I put a channel up, I need y'all to immediately just subscribe to it just in case some bullshit pops off. Because my channel, my Tariq Live channel, it got a flag because I used the picture of the boy. You remember the boy who, Devontae Hart, the boy he got killed by his white supremacist parents. I used the picture on the video where I was talking about it, and the woman who owned the copyright of the picture flagged it. You dig? So she was on some bullshit. So I need y'all to get on this page right here and subscribe to this channel so we can chop up that good game. Yes, that's Dame Funk in the background doing his thing. In the back, I got that Dame Funk beat. Dame does his thing. That's my brother. Anyway, family, don't forget, I'm going to be out there in New Orleans next week. Me and the girls from ISM, we're going to be out there, man. We're going to do some meet and greets, pop-ups. All my black business people in New Orleans, my black business people in Atlanta, my black business people in Chicago, you got businesses, man. Let us showcase you. Let us let people know who you are. We want to come give you shine. Email me, info@TariqElite.com. So we can chop it up. And everybody else, don't forget to get your Mink Slide shirts at MinkSlide.com. The album Egyptian Musk coming soon. It'll be out by this summer, family. All right, you guys be good. I will holler at you on Ustream or before. I might holler at you guys before. Not Ustream. I'm not going to. I keep saying Ustream, but I'll be here on this YouTube channel this Sunday or before. Y'all be good.